The IAEA prepares to release a report accusing Iran of planning to develop atomic arms. Israel is getting louder and louder with threats to launch a military strike on Iran's nuclear facilities, and the US is talking of more international pressure. On this edition of News Analysis, we're asking why the agency has failed to provide Iran with the alleged documents against its nuclear activities and how serious talks of a possible war may become. Stay with us for more.
World countries are continuing to react to the new IAEA report on Iran's nuclear program. The report accuses Tehran of working on computer modeling of a nuclear weapon. It also alleges that Iran has built a, quote, large steel container for tests with high explosives applicable to nuclear weapons. There is nothing new in the Amman report, except that it echoes the same accusations leveled against Iran by the US and Israel. The furor over the report comes amid media reports that Israel is preparing to attack Iran's nuclear facilities. Israeli President Shimon Peres has said time is getting closer for a war on Iran. Many world nations, including some permanent member states of the UN Security Council, have strongly warned against any military action against Iran.
Everything must be done to avoid an irreparable military action.
Concerning the militarist statements that Israel or others use forced against Iran, represents a very dangerous rhetoric. If threats are issued, then this could have severe consequences and even lead to war.
Iran, too, has cautioned against any aggression on its territory, saying it will give a crushing and devastating response if attacked. Tehran has also strongly criticized the IAEA chief as an official without authority. Amano stands accused of violating his impartiality by failing to monitor all the member states of the IAEA on an equal footing during his tenure. Israel continues to defy international calls to join the NPT. It is said to possess hundreds of nuclear warheads built with the help of its Western allies, like France and the US. Amano has not made the least effort to pressure Israel into allowing the agency's inspectors to visit its nuclear facilities. Israel tested an intercontinental ballistic missile with a range of 10,000 kilometers earlier this month. No word from the IAEA yet. As for Iran, the source of Amano's accusations against the country is, as he admits, the intelligence agencies of the US and Israel, both archenemies of Iran.
Well, the International Atomic Energy Agency has now released that awaited a report on Iran's nuclear activities. Joining me now live from London is Mr. Jafar Hadi Hassan. He's a Middle East expert. Also live in Washington, Mr. Michael Malouf, former Pentagon official. And with me here in the Tehran studio is Mr. Kaveh Afrasiabi, author and political scientist. He has written the book Iran's Nuclear Program, Debating Facts versus Fiction. Thank you very much, gentlemen, for being on this edition of News Analysis. I'll start my first question with Mr. Afrasiabi here in the studios. Welcome to the program. Mr. Afrasiabi, first of all, now that the report has been released and it's about the alleged documents on Iran planning to develop atomic arms, there's been questions about the authenticity of these documents. We have the former report by the IAEA's Director General to the Board of Governors, and in it he said, if I can quote him, that no nuclear material and activities are involved in the, quote, alleged studies case. Right. So what is the questions and what's your response to those questions about the authenticity of these alleged studies?
Well, the report just came out, and before coming on the program, I had a few minutes to pore over it. And honestly, I'm surprised by the absence of big surprises in it, because we've seen most of what is stated here in the previous reports, particularly the September two report by the IAEA chief, and there's a couple of small elements that are novelty, such as reference to a Ukrainian scientist who lectured on physics and explosives and so forth. And even though the IAEA claims that it has interviewed that scientist, it does not indicate that that scientist revealed anything, you know, outrageous with respect to Iran's engaging in any proliferation activities. Well, you know, most of the 1,000-plus pages of document that the IAEA refers to comes from a so-called, you know, laptop information that's been around since 2004. Mm-hmm. And we've seen time and again that not only the previous head of the IAEA, but also some, you know, major inspectors of the IAEA, including one who gave an interview to the Arab broadcast, questioning the authenticity of some of these documents, because the IAEA simply doesn't have the wherewithal, the means to independently corroborate the authenticity of these documents that are fed to it by various intelligence services from various countries that have a specific political agenda to demonize Iran and to pressure Iran with respect to various regional issues and otherwise. So it really, you know, spells trouble for the IAEA and its credibility that right. After all this media frenzy, we've seen a report that is notable for its lack of big surprises, in my opinion.
Well, let's go to Washington, Mr. Michael Malouf. Another question that's being raised now is why the International Atomic Energy Agency did not provide those documents to Iran, did not give those documents to Iran, because in its previous report to the Board of Governors, the IAEA had said that it has an obligation to give those documents to Iran, the alleged documents. But then it said in its report, and I'm quoting, that the certain country that had given those documents to it prevented it from giving them to Iran and forgetting Iran's assessment on them. Now, isn't this just showing that there are questions about the agency living up to its obligations?
Well, thanks for having me. Number one, IAEA, and particularly Mr. Amano, is very pro-Western. And the IAEA is very much attuned and plugged into the U.S. intelligence community. And consequently, if there were some documents, it probably had to do with a question of revealing potential sources and methods, which the intelligence community would not want to have exposed. And certainly if it went to the IAEA, there would be a high probability that they would get out. There's some very serious questions regarding this study. It's obviously a basis for creating an atmosphere for launching an attack against Iran. My sources tell me here in Washington that they monitor Israeli activities, and they see unabated their preparation for cancellation of civilian leave, not only these tests, but also fueling and arming missiles. It's building up to a crescendo. What's really absent about all this, and you alluded to it in your introduction, Israel has over 200, or maybe even possibly up to 400, tactical and strategic nuclear weapons, and they're not even a member of the NPT. The Nuclear Nonproliferation right. Treaty, and consequently, Israel is, I think, beginning to see that even if Iran became a nuclear power, absent weapons, that they would no longer be the sole nuclear capable entity in the Middle East, and that's worrisome to them.
Right.
But also
well,
the fact
first of all,
that
if I could just stop you there, Mr. Malouf, because I want to pick up on some points that you raised there before we go to the issue of Israel's nuclear weapons. Let's go to London now, Mr. Jafar Hadi Hassan. Looking at this report that's now come out by the IAEA, Mr. Hassan, let's have your view on this. Do you agree with Iran's stance now that the IAEA is not acting like an independent unbiased nuclear international organization because of the reports that it's given on about Iran, which raises a lot of questions about the IAEA's credibility or the IAEA's obligations?
Thank you. Well, I mean, there is a suspicion about the agency itself. The head of the agency being to the United States about a week ago, discussing this problem or this issue with the president. Now, we ask, why should he go there to discuss this problem? Of course, we know and everybody knows that the United States, from all this fuss, would like to keep Israel in monopoly of the nuclear weapon in the Middle East, and no one else should have. Of course, we are not saying Iran is aiming to produce a nuclear weapon at all, because Iran always insisted that its purpose right. is a peaceful purpose. United States and Europe and the agency, nuclear agency, have not proved the contrary. I mean, it is just the guesswork, and it is just the assumption. In fact, Iran challenged them, the agency, said, if you have documents, authentic documents, you produce these documents. But they haven't produced these documents at all. But still, they accuse Iran that is aiming to produce a nuclear weapon based on a computer data from 2004. And they discovered a few satellite imageries and things like this. And they built an idea that Iran is producing nuclear
weapons. Right, the question of Iran's response here, Mr. Hassan, let's put that to Mr. Afrasiabi here in the studio. Mr. Afrasiabi, we know, and of course you know as well, that Iran has given a written response, if I remember correctly, more than 100 pages.
117.
117 pages, responding to the alleged studies case previously. Tell us what you know about the content of that response and how the agency responded to that letter, because when it's raising the alleged documents issue again, does this mean that it's rejected Iran's response? On what ground did it reject Iran's response?
Well, I don't think that the agency has rejected so much as it has responded with more questions. And at the outset of the new report, the chief of IAEA, Mr. Amano, indicates that he is in consultation with the Iranian nuclear officials, and the latter have given positive responses to his request for further consultation to resolve the outstanding ambiguities regarding certain issues. So there's an ongoing transaction and cooperation between Iran and the agency that is reflected in the summary of this report, which clearly says that there is no evidence of diversion of declared nuclear material. And that goes to the heart of the Iran-IAEA cooperation agreement. Okay, but there are some aspects of this report that are really bordering ridiculous. For example, we've seen a lot of pre-report media coverage of certain complexes at Parching military base where supposedly some, you know, high explosive tests have been conducted, etc. Well, the report is very clear that this first came out in the year 2000. And then in 2005, there was an agency inspection of that facility, and I'm quoting from the end of item number, page 10. It says that the agency did not uncover anything of relevance. Okay, so despite the fact that there was nothing to be found suspicious at Parchin, you still find an avalanche of Western media obsession with this particular issue. So out of a non-issue, they made something out of it in order to attack Iran, smear it, and accusing it of clandestine proliferation activities. But most of what it cites with respect to Iran's, you know, questionable activities go back to 2002, 2003. And this, too, confirms the 2007 United States nuclear conclusion on Iran that says that Iran's nuclear program, at least since 2003, has been peaceful.
Right.
Okay, so it's like a fountain. Anyone can take from it what it desires. And those people in the U.S. intelligence community can refer to this and say that we stick with the 2007 conclusion.
So again, the question would be, if Iran has been giving information to the agency about the case of the alleged studies of the alleged documents, why is the agency's report again referring to that case, something that's been highlighted now in all the media reports around the world?
Well, the agency is referring to information from like 10 countries. And we know that a lot of that is coming really from one or two countries that spread to more. And this is really a politicized issue that the agency, instead of adopting some of Iran's points, is adopting the other side's allegations as facts. Mm-hmm. And that is why you do not see in this new report Iran's responses, but you see the allegations mm-hmm. made by other countries, and that itself proves the fact that the agency is not neutral, is not unbiased, is not impartial, and in fact is highly politicized against Iran.
Mr. Michael Maalouf, let's put this question to you. Would you agree now that this report is showing that the accusations, of course, on the alleged documents about Iran first came from the United States? Now, does this show that the IAEA is adopting them and now bringing them in its report? Does it show that this is, that the IAEA is, has become politicized, that this is a sign of U.S. pressure on the IAEA?
Well, I think it definitely is a sign of U.S. pressure, but you got to think back, too, of all of the intelligence, in quotes, that the United States had about Iraqi weapons of mass destruction. I would be very, very leery of these kinds of reports, since that episode proved to be not only wrong, but a total unmitigated disaster. The one thing that really needs to be brought out here is the fact that Iran has a right under the Non-Proliferation Treaty to develop nuclear energy. It has a right to enrichment, and especially if it has other reactors. What has been interpreted by other countries is that whether or not they will allow Iran to do this, when in fact the NPT, to which Iran is a signatory, has a right to do this. And the NPT is very strict in basically saying that other countries cannot contribute to making a bomb or providing Iran with a bomb. Theoretically, any country that's a signatory of the NPT can do what it needs to do to build up and to gather materials that can lead up to the development of creation of a bomb, but just not put it all together. But nevertheless, I have not seen, or nor has anyone convinced me, that Iran's going beyond just enriching uranium for the purpose of medical and other purposes. And also, Iran has allowed IAEA access to facilities. What the IAEA could do is do what they call intrusive inspections, because Iran is a member of the NPT, they're allowed to do that. And so, right. in order to convince them otherwise, unfortunately, what's happening is that this is building up to a crescendo and creating greater and greater tensions. And I'm really concerned that some accident is going to create another hostility.
Yeah, and that's the major point here. Mr. Hadi Hassan, let's put this question to you. Speaking about the timing of this IAEA report, even before it was released, the leaking of the report, whether it was intentional or not, and with all the rhetoric now against Iran and a possible war on Iran, first of all, do you think that there is going to be a war on Iran now, or a military strike on Iran now? Whether, how serious do you think these threats have become?
Probably they will not be a war against Iran, because Iran is not a weak or a small country at all. There will be, if Iran is attacked, there will be a reaction, a very strong reaction. It will engulf all the Middle East and beyond. If you remember last year, a journalist called Jeffrey Goldberg predicted that Israel would attack Iran in July 2011, and this never happened. And probably all this is a threat to isolate Iran, a threat to pressurize Iran. And of course, if we read this in what is going on for the last few months, for example, like accusing Iran of assassinating the Saudi embassy in the United States, and putting pressure on Iran, sanction against Iran, all these, of course, they are connected. United States is determined to isolate Iran, to make Iran weak, to isolate it diplomatically, is simply for the sake of Israel.
Mm-hmm. Right, Mr. Afrasiabi, well, we know that Iran, of course, has not developed nuclear weapons. It's not been planning a war on the United States. It's not considered as a credible threat to the Middle East nations. So if there is a military strike, if a possible military strike, what would be the reason for waging war on Iran? And do you think all this, as our guest Imnanda was saying, is more part of a psychological warfare than a serious military threat?
Well, I personally don't think that the probability of military strike against Iran is high. And the war rhetoric that we hear from Israel in particular is geared mainly to escalate the pressure for sanctions on Iran. Mm. For example, sanctioning the Iranian central bank, that in turn would make it difficult for Iran to do transactions for its oil and gas. And countries such as China would be adversely affected, as well as India and so many others. And it's a very good likelihood that these countries would not abide by such sanctions, and the countries imposing them, such as the United States, would further isolate themselves. Let me add to this the fact that there are some aspects of this report that are rather hilarious. For example, on item number 63, it says that the agency tends to believe these informations on Iran because of their quantity and their comprehensiveness. I mean, they're really underestimating the degree to which Iran's opponents can collect their forces and put out fabricated evidence. It's not a very difficult chore, and yet the agency puts a very lame excuse that it accepts these as facts because they're comprehensive and because of the large quantity. You know, that is not a good explanation to accept fabricated documents and, you know, the basis for the massive disinformation that Iran has been subjected to over the past few weeks and even before.
Okay, so Mr. Hadi Hassan, let's put this question to you as well. So would you also agree that this report by the IAEA is showing that there is something involved in the IAEA's report, a political movement involved, some kind of pressure involved that's moving toward increasing pressure on Iran without giving credible evidence on it?
Of course, there is no question about it. It's very clear. I mean, they want to put the pressure on Iran, to increase, in fact, the pressure on Iran. There is already pressure on Iran through the sanctions, through other means. And this, of course, is pushed by the United States and its allies, and particularly by Israel. But I don't think they will be successful at all in this. Because there is no evidence that Iran is producing nuclear weapon at all.
And the last question goes to Michael Malouf in Washington. Michael, if you could also briefly tell us your last view on what the United States' intention has been in this period of intense and increased pressure on Iran. If there is going to be war, what will be the consequences?
Well, first of all, I don't think the United States wants war. I don't think the United States wants to push for any more sanctions because it frankly has it very difficult. They can see now that sanctions really are not working. I think they're going to be, I think they are concerned about Israel gearing up. And I think that they're also receiving pressure, by the way, from Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia, of course, finds Iran to be, with its nuclear program, to be a threat. I would hope that it doesn't get to war, but there's no guarantee that right. Israel is going to consult with the United States beforehand.
Michael Malouf.
So, but I think that Israel may go ahead if it chooses to.
Okay, thank you very much. Michael Malouf, former Pentagon official, joining us there live from Washington. We've run out of time. I'd also like to thank Mr. Jafar Hadi Hassan, Middle East expert, joining us from London. And a big thank you as well to Mr. Kaveh Afrasiabi here in Tehran, author and political scientist. His book, Iran's Nuclear Program, Debating Facts versus Fiction. Thank you very much. And thank you, viewers, for staying with us. Do stay tuned. I'll be back with the international headlines.